heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. And maybe we need to do that anew, freshly. There are a number of you who like to play golf here in this church. I get, when I drive into church, I really get tickled with Warren. Warren Clark's out there. Where are you, Warren? He's out there swinging his club out in the parking lot. He's got these little balls. Warren, I'm going to surprise you someday. I'm going to come up and bring a club, and we're going to do this together. I like to play golf when no one's watching. I'm a backyard golfer. And the reason that is because a number of years ago, a really good friend of mine invited me to go golfing with him. And I explained to him, man, I'm horrible at golfing. It's not fun to watch. I enjoy swinging the club and trying to connect with the ball, but it is just out in public, I don't think so. He said, well, listen, we'll go during the week, and we'll have lunch together and go out there. The country club isn't very crowded at that time of the week and day, and it'll be great. And I consented. I said, okay, all right. So we had a great lunch, and we left lunch. We were going out to get in the golf cart, and we walked out there, got in the golf cart, and drove off to the first tee. Well, my anxiety level was beginning to increase because the time to tee off was coming up soon. And got out of the golf cart, got our clubs and our ball and tee, and went up to the tee, first tee, and then all of a sudden, two guys walked up and said, hey, you mind if we join you, create a foursome? Well, what was he going to say? Sorry, my friend here gets really anxious when people watch him play golf. So I rolled my eyes and I tried to calm myself down and just suck it up. So I let, oh no, you go first. And so I was the last one to tee off. Okay, my anxiety level is really increasing here. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, get in the right posture, square up with the fairway. Keep your head down. Keep your arms straight. Keep your eye on the ball. All three sets of eyes were on me. As I took my backswing very slowly, because that's what you're supposed to do. Right, Warren? Back in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to kill this ball. I'm going to send this ball into orbit. All eyes watched as that ball, all four sets of eyes, as that ball stayed right on the tee. Major whiff. Major. What was I going to do? Oh, that was just a practice. I read the rules that if you swing and really intend to hit it, that's a stroke. That's counted against you. So, I wound up again. All right? All eyes were on the ball, on me, and I took a swing. This time, the club connected with the ball, and it just dribbled off to the side a few yards. Things went from bad to worse. I was losing balls in the water hazards, in the bushes. Folks, it got so bad that my fellow players couldn't watch. They literally actually turned away. They were so embarrassed. And it was so humiliating. There was no hiding. I was fully exposed as a bad golfer. And there was just there was just no way around that. What I needed right then was a designated hitter. I know I'm jumping sports here, but I needed a designated hitter who would come and take my place and say, I'll help you out here. A Phil Mickelson or a Jordan Spieth. I would even have taken Tiger Woods. At times like that, you need a do-over. I needed a lot of do-overs that day. We need a do-over. And in golf, you know what they call that? A mulligan. I love the definition of a mulligan. Here it is. A mulligan is a stroke, listen to this, that is replayed from the spot of the previous stroke without penalty. No shame. Due to an errant a shot made on the previous stroke, the result, as the hole is played and scored, is as if the first errant shot had never been made. Church family, we need mulligans. As if justified is just as if we'd never sinned. And to help us get that truth deep into our hearts, to transform us and to change us, we have communion and we wash feet. Now, really, when you think about it, it's a strange kind of activity, washing each other's feet. But on the other hand, when you think about it from a biblical perspective and a spiritual perspective, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And when he washed his disciples' feet tenderly, lovingly, he said, guys, gals, you ought to wash each other's feet. He commended us to do that. So not only did he give us an example himself and invited us to do that, but secondly, it is a practice that helps us to understand and experience forgiveness. Jesus' power to forgive. It's really a powerful act that drives the fact that Jesus makes all things new in our lives. He restores us. He makes our hearts new and fresh. And he works on our relationships. And that's good. That's the whole process of making the world that is broken into a brand new, fantastic world. Now, it's easy for us to kind of shy away from washing each other's feet because you have to get out of your comfort zone. But I encourage you to. I really invite you to stretch yourself. Get up, get that club and get on the tee and swing. And try this out. If you haven't done it before, or if you're just hesitant to do it and you've been in this whole process for a long time, and let's move it down a little deeper. And let's say, let's make it really a spiritual time. It's easy to talk about the weather and about our job and stuff that's happening in our life on the surface. But let's talk about spiritual things. Or just be quiet. Pray for one another. And then at the end of our time of washing each other's feet, just pronounce that person clean and right with God. Maybe there's a relationship that's broken in this church body, and the Spirit is talking to you and saying, you've got to make things right. Make some reconciliations. And maybe this is the time to do that. Have the courage to do that, because we are a church, and relationships are what it's all about. So there's opportunities for us to do this. There's the men are in the early teen room, men only. Ladies only are in the youth chapel. And then families and couples are invited to go to the fellowship hall. If you still would like to stay here, you're welcome to do that. Janine will be playing some meditative music, and you can just pray, be close to God. But I really encourage us to take this seriously and let the truth that God makes all things, Jesus makes all things new in our lives, driving it in deeper into our hearts by participating in washing each other's feet. Then we're going to come back and we'll have a new filling of Jesus by partaking of the bread and the juice and the Lord's Supper. So I invite you now to participate and go to the different venues that we have available, and we'll come back and finish our Lord's Supper.